Junior Church, if you'd like to go, you can head on out with Miss Van Hall right now, and she'll take that, and her helpers back there. Appreciate all the work she does in that area. And the rest of us turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we started a topic last 2 weeks ago, had my nephew preach last Sunday at our family reunion, and he's just a wonderful young man and doing a great work there in Minnesota. I wanted to honor him and give him an opportunity to preach, to let him know how much I appreciate all he's doing. But Philippians chapter 4, we're into a topic that I think was crucial in the ministry and life of the Apostle Paul. And I've been so appreciative. So many people have told me, thank you for preaching on that, Pastor. We haven't heard a message on that in a long time. Contentment. Paul was content. And the more you read it, the more you study, and within the context, most of you could quote, and we'll get into this next week. Verse 13 of Philippians 4, one of the most popular verses of all of Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But if you know the context of that passage, that verse, it fits with contentment. That's how Paul learned to be content. And contentment was the thing that set Paul apart, I believe, in the ministry from most people. He learned to be content. He said, I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. I know all that. But I've learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's why in verse 10, let's read verses 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. This is Paul speaking to the Philippian church. And now at last your care hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, but I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The idea of contentment. That is what I believe set the Apostle Paul apart. But I truly believe in our society today that we've lost that thing of contentment. I think we've lost it in our churches today and in Christianity. Again, most of you have heard me tell this illustration, but it fits what I need to do. And when I was in the ministry in the 80s, that's how long ago that I started in the ministries, we had a missionary come back. And again, many of you have heard this, but just bear with me. He came back, and I can't even remember. It was so long ago from the field that he was in, and he was a wonderful speaker, and he was doing a workshop. And the workshop he had advertised was, what's going to destroy America? And again, that caught my attention more than any of the other workshops. And so I geared out my schedule for the day. It was a pastor's meeting we're in that I was going to, no matter what, I was going to his workshop. And I went to his workshop because I was anxious to see what he said was going to destroy America. And it was so different than I thought. I thought it was going to be immorality, drugs, the direction of going, politics. I had a lot of things in my mind what would destroy America, and this is what he said. He said, the thing that's going to destroy America is prosperity. We have so much. And he said, in America, we have so much. You have so much that you're going to become discontent and not thankful for what you have. And it's going to destroy America. And I know there's a lot of things in the world today that we could point our fingers at it. The direction of our politicians, this virus, and the different things that are out there right now. But one of the things that I believe is going to destroy America is a discontent. That philosophy, that entitlement philosophy. And that's why I think Paul wanted to let the church of Philippi know what was taking place. And he said in verse 11, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So Paul learned contentment. And the first thing we looked at in learning contentment, I'm not going to take time to spend a lot of time on it, but the first thing you need to be content in the Christian life is that you have a confidence in the sovereignty of God. You have to have a confidence in the sovereignty of God, that God is in control of everything that happens in this world, everything that happens in your life is God. It doesn't come as a shock to God. God knows everything. He knows your thoughts even before you think it. He knows when you're going to die. He knows when you were going to be born before you were ever born. God knows everything about you. Matter of fact, the very hairs of your head are numbered. And God knows each individual hair on the head of each individual. We have to understand the sovereignty of God. We have to be confident. And I said this 2 weeks ago, and I'll say it just one more time. I've heard so many people say, yeah, Pastor, I know God's in control, but we don't live it. Yeah, Pastor, I know God's in control of everything that's happening in the political life in America. I know God's in control of this COVID virus. I know God's in control of everything that's going on in this world, but we fret about it. We say it, but you have to believe it, and the Apostle Paul believed it. That's why he learned in whatsoever state he was to be content. He learned and had confidence in the sovereignty of God, that everything happened in his life happened by purpose and plan to make him what he was to become for God. But there's a second thing you need, I believe, to have contentment in this world today. And that number two is not only have a confidence in God, but to learn to be satisfied with little. I think this is very difficult in our society today. We need to learn to be satisfied with little. You see, Paul did not want the Philippians. When he wrote verse 10, he said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now at last your care of me hath flourished again. If you know the background of that, when Paul left Philippi, they were the only church that supported the Apostle Paul on his first, second missionary journeys. He was the only one. But along the line, for about 10 years now, their giving to him, their support for him had diminished. In fact, it didn't even come. And the Bible doesn't say why, whether it was because the Philippians fell on hard times being in Philippi, a colony of Rome, or they just simply lost track of Paul. There was no way to keep track of him. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have GPSs. There was no way to keep track of him. I'm not sure the reason, but they'd lost contact with Paul for 10 years. Just so you know the context of this passage. But then when he came to Rome, they heard he had come to Rome because they were from Philippi and they heard he was in prison in Rome. Immediately they took an offering, raised some money the best they could, and they sent it with Epaphroditus to take the money, and not only to take the money to the Apostle Paul to meet some of his current needs that he had, but to stay there and minister to him. And that's why Paul wrote this. He said, at last your care hath flourished. But Paul did not, he wrote verse 11, because he didn't want the Philippians to misunderstand that statement. So he adds this disclaimer, not that I speak in respect of want. I'm not saying that because of respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am in to be content. He did not mean to imply that he spoke from want, but he simply wanted to thank him for the gift that they've been reconnected with him. Though his situation was extremely difficult, Paul was content. It did not matter that he was a prisoner living in a small room, chained to Roman soldiers, existing on a sparse diet. None of this affected his contentment, because he learned to be satisfied with what little he had. And I think that's the second key to learning to be content in our lives, is number one, to acknowledge the sovereignty of God, that everything happens with plan and purpose by God. But number two, we have to learn to be satisfied with little. We've always had so much. But Paul learned to be satisfied with little. His contentment was not affected by what he was lacking. You see, Paul was excited. He had joy in there because you know what? His goal, if you follow the writings of the Apostle Paul, his goal was to take the gospel to Rome, to the palace of Rome. That was his desire. Ultimate desire was to take the gospel to Rome, give it to Caesar. But there was no way that he could get into the palace of Rome. But he submitted to God. And God said, if you'll be content, Paul, I'll get you to the palace of Rome. But it wasn't a way that you would think or would you enjoy. He was shipwrecked. He was just a miserable time on a ship getting into Rome. He was in Rome. He had a soldier from the Praetorian Guard chained to him all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But that Praetorian Guard lived in the palace. Those were private soldiers for Caesar. And I truly believe that he got to witness to these soldiers, and he led many of them to Christ, and they took the gospel back with them to the palace, and the gospel got into the palace. Paul said, I don't speak in respect of want. God's blessing me. God's using me. So I'm not speaking in want, because I've learned that whatsoever state I am, there to be content. And you'll find out next week with Romans or Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. It's when you're content and problems arrive, that's when you'll see the power of God. That's why Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. Why? Because every time the infirmities came upon the Apostle Paul, guess what? He saw God work in an amazing way. He saw God do things that he could have never accomplished. And he said, so I've learned when bad things happen, that's when God rises up to the occasion and uses me. So I've learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Knowing that God is in complete control, number one, but number two, just simply being satisfied with little. The word content, he said, when he said this, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. It means to be entirely self-sufficient or independent of external circumstances. The word was used to describe a country that supplied itself and had no need of imports. You know, like we were energy independent in America, but we're no longer energy and this could help you to understand, we're no longer energy independent. We're dependent upon other countries to provide the oil that we need for gasoline and natural oil and the different things. We're no longer content. We're no longer self-supplied. That's the idea behind contentness. The word content is a description of a man whose resources are within him, so he does not have to depend upon substitutes from without. Really, it's saying our sufficiency is in Jesus Christ, who meets all of our needs. You're self-dependent, but not upon yourself, but upon Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment was a gift from God. It was part of God's provision for his life. In today's society, people are not content with either little or much. In fact, it seems like those who are wealthiest are often the most miserable and discontented. Instead, people are obsessed with broadcasting their needs and wildly demanding that those needs be met. We live in an entitlement world. We live in an entitlement philosophy. We've learned to expect it. You owe me. This is what I deserve. But that's not contentment. Contentment is self-sufficiency in Jesus Christ to meet every one of your needs. That's what Paul said. He said, I've learned that God is a sovereign God in control of everything. But number two, I've learned to be satisfied with little. You know, starting with the humanistic premise that God does not exist and that man is therefore the ultimate goal, man becomes the God. And man is the ultimate goal in life. People have become obsessed with getting their needs met. It's all about me. It's adding to the discontent. Adding to that discontent is the blurring distinction between needs and wants. Now, hear me out, please. Listen to this on this, please. There was a day 50 years ago, I think, especially when I was younger, I think that people could discern between a need and a want. There were just some things you needed that you had to have to survive. But then there were some things you wanted. But you learned the principle, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and mercy. But over the years and in our society today, I think those lines are blurred. I think our needs have become our wants and our wants have become our needs. There's not a distinction anymore. People think they've got to have everything. In actual practice, virtually everything has become a need. Thus, man wants a better car, a bigger car, a fancier car, more money, bigger homes. Women need careers and to be heard. Teens need unending sexual encounters to liberate their expressed ego. Children need freedom to express themselves outside of the bondage of parental control. Everybody has needs. And their needs that and their wants are one and the same. And what that leads to, folks, is a discontentment in the world today. Even the church has begun to build its ministry around people's felt needs. You know, I used to think, I guess, that I don't know if I was taught this at the at Maranatha Baptist University where I received my pastoral training. Or I just picked this, but when I got into the ministry, when I first got into the ministry, you know what my goal was? It was specifically to meet the needs of my people. I just wanted to meet the needs of my people. And you say, Pastor, that's good. Well, that's not necessarily good. For Paul knew that the chief end of man is not to have their needs met, but to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And we've become so busy in Christianity trying to meet your needs that we've missed the boat, that's not the chief end of man to have your needs met. We need to learn to trust in the sovereignty of God. Number two, we need to learn to be satisfied with little so we can have that contentedness. And when you're content, that's when God can do what God can do. That's what that verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, means. But we've lost that contentment. And you know what? I had to change some of my thinking. As much as I love the people in this church and how good this church has been to me and how much I love each one of you, that I pray for each one of you almost every day of my life, I take that time because I see the value of God using you because I want God's best, I want God's glory in your life. But I used to think I was here to meet your needs. But I'm here to teach you the scriptures. I'm here to teach you how to glorify God and magnify God in your life, because that should be the chief end of all men, is to magnify our Savior. We've got it out of whack in our world today. Paul was satisfied with whatever God graciously granted him. That's why he wrote to Timothy, as we read 2 weeks ago, in 1 Timothy 6:8, wherewith you have food and clothes, let us therewith be content. Be content. But today in our lives, there's so much discontentment. You know, I had a preacher, I can't believe this was over 40 years ago. When I first got into the ministry, I went to a preacher's conference. There was a preacher who stood up and this is 40 years ago. And he was talking about the television. And he said something that surprised me. And now again, 40, 50 years ago, the shows on TV aren't what they are today. Some of them were even wholesome back in that day. But he got up and he shocked me, because he didn't get up and say, every one of you need to get rid of your TV. You need to get rid of your TV. That's not what he said. That's what I thought he was going to say. But that's not what he said. But he talked about the most destructive thing about TV. You know what he said it was? He said, this is almost 50 years ago. 40 years ago, when I was first in the ministry, he said, the thing that I dislike about TV that's going to destroy Christianity, it's going to destroy people, is not the TV, it's the commercials that we watch. This is 40 years ago. He said, because they're going to create a wanter in you that you want and want and want and want, and your needs will never be met. I'm thinking about this. Brother Bob gives me a McIlvaney, which is, he's a writer, and he lays it way out there sometimes. And so I read him once a month. He sends an article out, and Brother Bob so graciously lets me read an article from Brother McIlvaney. And one of his articles said this. He talked about Edward Bernay. Edward Bernay was one of the first to come in and begin advertising. Just to show you how effective advertising is, this is almost 100 years ago. Edward Bernay was hired to increase the sales of the American Tobacco Company's Lucky Strike cigarettes. 100 years ago, Now, if you go back 100 years ago, some of you almost make it. 100 years ago, men smoked, but as I did my research, because I'm not 100 years old, not many women smoked at that time. And he was hired to come in and promote for the tobacco company, Lucky Strike. And so he began by marketing a new demographic, and it was women. Bernay promoted the idea of thinness, suggesting that women smokers were prettier and slimmer than non-women smokers. And he even employed some medical experts, I guess you can get all kinds of medical, who advised smoking over sweets. They said it's better to smoke a cigarette than to eat chocolate. He also launched during that time Torches of Freedom, a women's lib movement. Torches for Freedom campaign that presented cigarettes as a part of the women's lib movement. I'm not going to go on and on with the rest of the story, but sales just flew off the chart. And he convinced people that that was the way to go in your life. So then he did a second thing after that took place, and this still goes on today. But the average American in that day ate a light breakfast consisting of coffee, a roll, and orange juice. That's what they ate. Now, that's my kind of breakfast. Coffee, well, not coffee, but a roll and orange juice. But all of that changed when Bernay was hired to increase bacon sales for the Beech Nut Packing Company. So he assembled a study of 4,500 doctors, and led by the agency's internal doctor, and he recommended, and that went out all over the place, that Americans eat a heavier breakfast. And just by his advertisement, the American public followed his advice, and Beech Nut's profits soared off the chart. And they sold more bacon than they'd ever sold any time before. Now, I'm not saying what he did was wicked, but I want to show you how advertising controls people today. And it's changed. It's changed us. And all of a sudden, there's no longer a distinction between a need and a want. So we have to answer the question to ourselves, what do I need? Paul said, all you need is God. The chief of a man is to worship God, for it's all about him, it's not about you. So what I'm trying to show you this is the Apostle Paul, he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Because when I learned to be content, that's when I saw the working of God. And if you follow the life of the Apostle Paul, when things got tough, that's when God took over and amazing things happened. But you know what, in our society today, in our churches today, in Christianity today, we've lost that contentment. You know, you say, well, Pastor, I'm pretty content until something goes wrong. Pastor, I'm okay with everything that's happened until it affects you. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I'm the same way. I can tell you I'm content with everything I have, and God has blessed me beyond, way beyond anything I deserve. And I'm pretty content until the washer breaks down, until the car breaks down, until this happens. And then I sometimes almost blow a gasket because I haven't learned to be satisfied with little. But the Apostle Paul said, I've learned. So he didn't want to say, when you didn't give me anything in 10 years, when you couldn't provide for me, that was okay. Because I learned that during that time when you couldn't provide for my needs, God provided for my needs. During that time when I couldn't hardly take care of myself, God took care of me. And during that time when things got rough and things got tough and the world started attacking and demonic powers began to come all about me, when everything began to fall apart, God took over. And amazing things happened. Why? Because Paul learned to be content. Can I tell you at work? Can I tell you in your home, in your family, and in this community? The time where you represent Jesus Christ was not when things are going great. You know when the time you represent Jesus Christ the best? Is when things are going bad. When things get tough. And you with the Apostle Paul can say, because I trust in the sovereignty of God, because I've just learned to be satisfied with little. I don't need all those extras. I don't need all that. I just have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. But let me just give you the third one real quickly. Much more I need to say on that, but my time's flying by. The third thing, the Apostle Paul, as I examine his life, he was independent from his circumstances. For in verse 12, he said the twice repeated phrase in verse 12. It says this, I know both how to be abound. I know. He repeats it twice. He had learned by experience and because of spiritual maturity to live above his circumstances and not let them affect his contentment. It's an important lesson for believers to learn. For in the most difficult circumstances in life, that's when they steal our contentment and our joy. But it's in those circumstances in life where God can use you and show himself strong to that neighbor, to that coworker, to that family member, to that person that you're so desiring that they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For when I am weak, then, Paul said, I am strong. Paul's statement that he said, I know how to be abased. I know how to be hungry, he said. I know how to suffer needs. It simply indicates that he had his share of poverty on that road. It wasn't a glorious road. Remember, nobody supported him but the Philippian church, and for 10 years, nobody supported him. Can you imagine sending a missionary? You say, Pastor, God's called me to the mission field, and you just take off and go over to the mission field with no support. You're going to struggle. And I imagine Paul had some struggles. But it was in the midst of those struggles that he saw the power of God, the working of God. And it's in the midst of those struggles. And we're going to divide up and take verse 13. But he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Because of the contentment he had in his life, he said, I know what it is to suffer needs. He knew what it was to get by with meager material things. But Paul also knew how to abound. Having grown up a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he was trained under the tutorship of Gamaliel. So I believe that Paul probably came from a pretty well-to-do family. Paul knew how to be abased. He knew how to abound. Paul lived and administered in the trenches. His life was not exactly a testimony for the prosperity of the gospel. You know, Paul's trials began in shortly after he got saved in Damascus when they wanted to kill him already and they had to let him down over a wall by a basket. At Lystra, on his first missionary journey, hostile Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. And I believe he was dead, and I believe God raised him from the dead, Acts chapter 14. And many of the Philippian believers no doubt remember what happened to Paul when he was in Philippi and he started the Philippian church, that he was cast into prison simply for casting that demon out of that demonized girl, Acts 16. But things didn't get better for Paul in Thessalonica. For some wicked men gathered together seeking to have him killed. Everywhere Paul went, it seemed like he struggled, not because of himself, but simply because of what God did in his life. That's why he wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 of the Jews. Five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? But I'm not burnt out. Why? Because he was content. There's not one of you in this room that would like to live the life the Apostle Paul lived. Not one of you in this room, because I wouldn't want to live the life the Apostle Paul lived. But there's not one of you in this room that wouldn't want to stand in his shoes when he receives the rewards when he gets to heaven. You see, the chief end of the Apostle Paul was to glorify God. He got it. But in Christianity today, we've missed the boat. We think it's having all our needs met. That's why we work an extra job on Sunday, and that's why we take two jobs, and we don't have the time, and it keeps us out of church, and it keeps it away from home. But there's so many things we need. We've lost that contentedness. Paul said, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, you have confidence in the sovereignty of God, that everything that happens in your life happens by God's plan and God's purpose. If you learn to be satisfied with little, if you learn that your circumstances are independent of your joy and victory, he said, you can learn that in whatsoever state you are, therewith to be content. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I've got to quit. But you know, this message right here, these last couple weeks, it has affected my thinking. You want to know if you're content? You know how you know if you're content? And I found out I wasn't content. Last summer, we lost electricity like most of you did. We lost it for 3 days. And it was hot. I didn't have my air conditioner. I didn't have lights. I had a generator there that I kept my freezer and refrigerator so I didn't lose all that food that was there. But when you lose those little things of life, you know what? Those 3 days, I was miserable. Because I didn't have those things. Made me realize something, that I have so much. Sometimes my needs and wants have crossed over. My needs are my wants, and my wants are my needs. Oh, how many times have you quoted the verse with me? My God shall supply all my needs. But our needs have become our wants today in our society. And we've learned not to be content. And when we lose that contentedness, we lose seeing the power of God. Because Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. So I will glory in my infirmities. You know what the Apostle Paul said? I'm through. He almost did this and said, glory, I'm having problems again. Because you know what that means? I'm going to see the power of God. Glory! I'm going to see God do something wonderful here. That was the contentment. Even in prison, chained to the Praetorian Guard, he said, glory, because I'm going to reach the palace. God's going to reach the palace in a way I could never reach it. So Paul said, you couldn't send me any money, but that was okay. Matter of fact, that was even for the best, because through that time, I learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Because that's when I saw the power of God in my life. Folks, we need to be content. Tough to do. You got to acknowledge the sovereignty of God and have confidence in it. Number two, you have to be satisfied, learn to be satisfied with little. You're not always going to have everything. Number three, live independent of your circumstances. They do not determine your joy. Your joy comes from God. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of God's word. I'm so thankful for the life of the Apostle Paul. He's taught me so much in this study of Philippians. But probably out of all the study of Philippians, this is what he's taught me the most. Because I want to see this church grow. I want to see this and I want to see that. And I want to see God do this. But I've learned in my 7 years here almost that I can't do any of it. It has to be God. But when I learn contentedness, when I'm contented with what God has given me, and I learn in the sovereignty of God, I trust in the sovereignty of God, I'm able to be satisfied with little. I live independent of my circumstances. When I'm weak, then will I be strong. God, help my people. Help us in Christianity in our churches today to learn contentment, to see the working of God, the power of Christ. It's when we learn to be content. Paul said, I can do all things in Christ, which strengthens me, when I know and I've learned to be content. With every head bowed